The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see Kalshi.com/regulatory.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5. The game on this Thursday at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Barlines. It is draft day. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier back at the ranch on the ones and twos. And want to get into a little bit, take a little bit of a breather from the draft. This whole Mike Vrabel, Diana Russini thing that has just been escalating and escalating. Now there are new pictures that supposedly were taken 6 years ago of them in a New York bar making out.
Yeah.
And so obviously this has been going on for a while. I said it yesterday. I've kind of always had my suspicions about it. But again, none of my business. So I've just kind of been whatever. But
right.
Obviously now it has really, you know, escalated. She's stepped down at the Athletic, and then Mike Vrabel said some stuff today that he is going to miss Saturday, day three of the draft, because he is going to be with his family. He's going to go into counseling and try and work through some of this stuff. I'm going to give you your moment in a second, but I will say, for me, you're never going to hear us crap on somebody for going to counseling.
Nope.
And trying to better themselves. Whether they made a mistake or not, we're all human. We're not perfect. And the fact that he's doing that, you know, good on him, because hopefully it helps him.
Yeah. So we've spent the last 2.5 years telling men to go to therapy, go to counseling. So I'm not going to sit here and bag on Mike Vrabel for what's going on. I mean, he said today he got the first sin, throw the first stone or whatever it is.
Yeah.
That saying.
Let he without sin cast the first stone.
Thank you. So I preach for men to go to therapy all the time. If you're struggling and down, I mean, it's daily. I live it. I tell guys all the time to do that. So, again, I don't know the entire situation with Vrabel, just what we've seen in the papers and online on the internet. But if you're going to counseling, good, right? Now, you deal with this between your God and your wife. That's how you answer to that. You don't answer to me or anybody else. If you're Mike Vrabel, you do that. But go to counseling. So I'm not going to say, oh, he's busted. He's going to count. Just go to counseling. Go to therapy. Go talk to people. We say it all the time. It's unfortunate there's a lot of collateral damage to this.
Yes.
I don't care about your football team. I care about your family and what's going on. And situations like this, nobody wins in this, but and you're like, oh, he's got to be smarter than that. No, nobody's smarter. I mean, we all make dumb mistakes that we know better about this, and he's seeking help. Good for him. Now, as far as her, I don't know. I mean, I just know what I tell men to go to therapy.
Tell her. I mean, she should too.
She's 50% of this, right? Yeah. It takes two to dance and all this, so that's going to happen. I think, and I hate to say this, I think Vrabel will step away from football. And I
kind of wonder that.
And I don't know if he comes back. I mean, it's
– well, because –
who knows, right? Who knows?
My thing is, you know, people are saying, well, why not go to counseling on Monday or Tuesday or whatever? Why would you miss the draft? You know, to me, I think some of those difficult conversations that he talked about, you know, with his wife and his family, I mean – Jen was brought up all the time when he was here. I have a feeling that some of those difficult conversations were ultimately an ultimatum of, you know, are you going to do what it takes to repair this with your family, or do you care more about football?
So if you are a reporter, and there's a lot of reporters out there out for themselves and out for the clicks and out for all that stuff, and you knew Mike Vrabel was going to speak after day three of the draft, what are you doing? Are you going to the presser? You're damn right you're going to the presser, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
You're going to the presser.
Yeah.
So the fact, I think part of that is the fact is he's not going to have to answer questions Saturday after the presser about all the guys they drafted. Is that smart? I don't know. But I know it removes him from that situation. So some reporters who are making plans to go there, just to question him about that, it's not going to happen. And hopefully goes to therapy. But take care of your family first and move on. So I'm not going to sit here and say, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, no.
Nope.
No, not doing it. We're not doing that.
Not doing it, because that's our message all the time for guys to go to whatever you need, go to therapy. If you are struggling, just go to therapy. That's it.
Mark Daniels, who covers the Patriots, says Mike Vrabel is scheduled to speak to the media tonight if the Patriots make a pick. In the event they trade out, Elliot Wolf is scheduled to talk Friday and then on Saturday with Ryan Cowden. So if the Patriots trade out tonight, Vrabel isn't on the media schedule until May 27th.
Good.
I don't think Vrabel's going to speak tonight, because I think they trade out, and now I think they change the schedule. I don't think we see him again until
yeah, they go 31 tonight, right? Yeah. I think they're 31st, so that could be 10:30 tonight. Who knows? But
I think they trade out. That's what a lot of people are.
But
saying.
I, you know, these latest pictures that came out with him and Russini from 6 years ago, allegedly, I mean, it's more than there's a lot there, right? There's smoke, there's fire.
Here's the thing now. They don't owe us anything necessarily. This is their families. But I have always believed if you are in a bad situation and you want it to go away, the best way to do that is to hit it head on.
Yeah.
And so they haven't done that. They lied about it. They said, you know, she had friends there, which it was an empty pool. So how stupid do you think we are?
Mm-hmm.
Now I think you need to, you know, I know he spoke on Tuesday, but now you need to come out and be like, look, here's what happened. This is how long it's been happening. This is the last time I'm going to talk on it. You know, it's now between me and my family.
Right.
But this is what it is. I'm going to step away for a while. Mr. Kraft is giving me that. Whoever his assistant head coach is going to run things, and I'll see you at training camp.
Yeah, William makes a good point here. He says, I'm just on the text line, 615-737-1025. He says, I'm just glad all this stuff with Vrabel Russini came out after he left. Would not want the Titans staff in the headlines for something stupid like that. And that's a great point. Look, I mean, it's New England's problem. It's not here. We have to worry about it. And all those can deal with it up there. So that's their problem now. It's Vrabel's problem. You know, and deal with it yourself and how you figure it out up there. And it's just, again, nobody wins in this situation. And the difficult conversation with my football team, he said, was such a – what can I say without getting fired? Was such a pathetic move to include your football team. In your personal problem is not your football team's problem. You made it their problem, Vrabel. You're not as great as you think you were. And as a lot of the people around here thought you were, you're not. You're an average dude, and now you included your football team in your problems? That's pretty sad.
Couple of texts. This has probably been addressed. This is 8836. Do the Titans have any recourse with Vrabel and what they owe him if they find something unethical? What would that be? I don't – probably not.
Yeah.
Not to make the joke. But probably not. I think the Titans are like, yeah, we're going to move on from this.
Yeah.
But, you know, what's interesting now, if this has been going on for 6 years, then, okay, I'm not saying they're culpable in it, but it's like, okay, did they know something was going on? And my guess is probably somebody in that building did.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there are no secrets.
There are no secrets at all.
And the fact that, like, if we all kind of were like, wonder what's going on there. You know, I mean, there are several people in this town that have that sentiment.
But, I mean, do we now go back and look at things that she reported about the Titans?
100%.
That you know absolutely he gave
her. She knew everything. Remember, we used to joke she was the Titans insider.
That's right.
Like, she knew everything.
We did make those jokes. And so Now, I mean, it's just
– and truthfully, I didn't say this on the air because it was unprofessional and inappropriate, but, like, in the back of my head, I'm kind of like, huh. So, I mean, if you are the Titans now, you know, do you have to kind of look into it a little bit more than you want to?
Absolutely. And the pitchers, allegedly, from 6 years, where have they been?
I don't know. Whoever sat on those, like, they were just biding their time.
Right? It's a lot of patience for all that. If you had, New York Post is reporting more pictures today of Vrabel and Rossini at a bar.
It is kind
of
weird, though. Allegedly. At the bottom, there's an initial that says AAS. I don't know what that means.
So no, I don't know. They've been sitting out there for a long time. But, again, so if Vrabel's stepping away for day three, I think this escalates. And, you know, will there be an ultimatum from his wife? Said, pick me or the football team. I mean, I'm just surmising here. I don't know, but I mean, it's not a good time for Mike Vrabel.
It is not. 615-737-1025. Chad says those pictures are dated like a few days before she broke that we weren't going after Brady. So, and a couple of you have pointed out, and it's true.
What?
Yeah. I guess.
That was around March of 20, right? Right before COVID took over?
Yeah. Kevin from Hendersonville, I agree with both of your positions on the situations. They need to get the help they need, especially with the families involved. But why does it seem like Rossini is suffering the consequences and Vrabel really hasn't seemed to have anything majorly affect his employment?
Yeah, it's a good point.
That is the unfortunate part of this. And the unfortunate, I mean, we both know why. And that's the unfortunate reason.
Yeah, right.
And that's what's wrong. I mean, that's you know, they're both just as guilty, but because he's a football coach, because he's a he, the heat isn't as bad on him as it is on her.
Yeah.
Her career is ruined.
Yep.
Now, do I think, you know, she'll get another job somewhere at some point in time? Yes. Will she ever be an insider, be up there with the Schefters and the Rappaports and stuff again? No.
Never again.
Because unfortunately, everybody's going to look at her and go, well, how'd you get that information? Whether that's true or not true,
yep,
she's going to have that on her. So that is, look, I'm with you. It's unfortunate. But at the same time, you made that choice.
That's right.
You know, and I am, again, I'm going to say what I said yesterday. Let he who is out without sin cast the first stone. None of us are perfect.
Nope.
But, so I'm not going to sit here and judge that. But, you know, this is the position that they have put themselves in. And, unfortunately, now you got to pay the consequences for it. And we'll see what Vrabel's is. You make a good point. He might step away and call Robert Kraft and go, Mr. Kraft, I want to thank you for everything you've done for me and my family, but I gotta step away.
I if that's what he needs, great. I think
do it.
I think his ego is still too massive for him to do that. And I hope he just doesn't think that, you know, I'm missing day three, I'm going to go to counseling, and I'll be okay. What I mean, just go to counseling and figure it out on your own. It's unfortunate that you brought your football team into this and people having to defend you, a fan base defending you, people defending you over all this that – you know, you probably knew you shouldn't be doing that. But again, we are a mistake-filled society in every way possible, and it happens.
0388, Vrabel is suffering. He's catching it in private, and that is 100% probably true.
Been there. Been there, and it's not good.
Wes, we'll get your call coming up next. It's Chase and Big Joe on a Thursday, 102.5 The Game. This could go a couple of different ways.
Right.
Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. On this Thursday, draft night in Nashville coming up tonight at 6 at T-Line in West Nashville. And really looking forward to that. Want to send a big thank you to all our sponsors involved this year, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Pizona MD, because the roster's full, Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery, Sealmaster, and Tri-State Water, Power, and Air Home Generators for joining us. We'll be at T-Line tonight and Chicago's home of Chicken and Waffles tomorrow. Again, both of those starting at 6 o'clock. So, really looking forward to that. To wrap up some of the Vrabel stuff, Wes in Hermitage wants to weigh in. Wes, what you got?
What's up, guys? Man, I'm so excited for today. I've been waiting on this since it feels like 2 years. But my question for y'all in regards to the Vrabel and Rossini situation is this. I 100% agree with y'all that therapy, counseling, all that stuff is important. I've gone to therapy. I've got my daughter in counseling. It's super, super beneficial. But it's only super beneficial if you go for the right reasons. And I don't know, but with what I do know about Mike Vrabel and his ego and just who he is as a person, something tells me that he is being made to go to counseling, that this isn't just something that, like, you know, he just said, you know what, I'm going to better myself because I think I'm a crap bag, so I should go to counseling. I don't know. Maybe he's going to counseling for the right reasons, but I would like for y'all to just kind of give me your opinion. What do you think he will actually get out of this counseling, and will he be going for the right reasons?
It is a great question, Wes.
I don't know.
And look, I would say if I had to guess, this is just my opinion, yes, he's probably being made to do it. But, you know this, like, there are a lot of instances where somebody is kind of forced to do it or made to do it, and they do end up getting something out of it.
It's just, I don't want to put it down. I mean, I'm glad he's going, allegedly. But it's just, if it's that important, why not miss tonight?
Yeah.
If it's that important to you, I think you're missing day three because you know you have to speak to the media when it's done. And you're going to go out there and speak it.
Well, he's scheduled to speak tonight, though.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Yeah, right now. Yeah. But day three, you've moved all that, you know.
Yeah.
You can come out tonight and say, hey, we took Chase McKay because we felt he did this, this, and that, and that. Appreciate you guys. And you're gone. Day three, you're answering all those questions about the draft. If it's important. But, again, I'm not in that situation. I don't know. I mean, going to counseling. That's fine.
My guess is even if they pick tonight, they're going to change it up and it'll be
– Yeah.
He won't be up there.
Make it about the player tonight and
which right now, like, exactly. To me, he'd be a bigger distraction than anything. So, you know, let him go worry about him. But I'm with you. I mean, if it's that important, then just miss the whole draft.
Exactly. I know we got who's coming at 1:30?
Christopher Bell, driver of the number 20 for Joe Gibbs Racing, a guy that knows a little bit about the draft.
He does. So before we go, these are the schools with the most number one overall picks all time in the draft. This school has had six players drafted number one. What school is it? What college has had six guys go number one overall?
Something tells me I'm going to be bad at this. Southern Cal.
Bingo.
Okay.
They've had six guys go number one. At five, three teams are tied at five with number one overall picks. I can only name two from one school, but two are in the SEC and one is not.
Alabama.
Alabama's only had two players go number one overall.
Wow.
These three schools have had five.
This could be wrong, but I just have a weird feeling. Is Auburn one?
Auburn has four.
Okay.
They're a notch below.
Texas.
Texas has had three guys go number one overall.
Jeez.
Earl Campbell, one of those.
Yeah.
These three schools had five.
Florida.
Florida has had – let me see here. Florida is not up there. In fact, I don't think, according to this list, Florida might not have ever had a number one
overall
pick.
Yeah, I was trying to think through.
They haven't. So here are the three. Georgia's had five number one picks.
Okay.
Notre Dame.
Okay.
And the Oklahoma Sooners have had five number ones.
Tennessee's had one that I know of.
They've had two. Peyton and was the other one Doug Atkins? Vanderbilt has one pick. Number one overall, Bill Wade in 1952.
Yep.
NBA quarterback Bill Wade
went
to the L.A. Rams.
L.A. Rams.
He was traded later on to the Bears. Frank Gifford was also in that draft. And Babe Parilli, quarterback from Kentucky, in that draft. And also in that draft in 1952, one Pat Summerall was in that draft.
That's cool.
He was a kicker from the University of Arkansas.
Was Frank Gifford drafted by the Giants?
He was.
Was Summerall drafted by the Giants?
I don't. That's a great question to see here. Let me see here. No, the Lions took it.
Lions.
1952. But Auburn's had four, Stanford's had four, and at three, Miami, LSU, Ohio State, and the Texas Longhorns.
Interesting.
So Georgia, I know it's been Stafford, went number one. Who else went number one from Georgia? It's an interesting list to go there. Thank you, Nick. George Kafigo was the other Vol drafted 1940 by the Chicago Cardinals, so the nice team which we can't stand.
The other Georgia first-round picks were Trayvon Walker, Matthew Stafford, Harry Babcock, Charlie Trippett, and then Frank Sinkwich.
You know, it's funny. Thank you for that. Trayvon Walker was taken by the Jags in, 22?
I forgot all about that.
Yeah. And he's correct. He's quietly been a very dominating player in the National Football League.
Nobody remembers he was the number one overall pick.
Nobody does. No, I even forgot. It was hell. It was only 4 years ago he went number one. So just see what happens there. And there's a reason that these guys that from these schools go to Alabama, Cal, Michigan, Tennessee, Virginia Tech, Penn State, and Nebraska with all those. LSU's had three guys. I know Joe Burrow was one of those guys. And 20, that's been 6 years now?
Yeah.
Burrow crazy was the COVID draft? Yeah, 20? Good Lord. Yeah, so it flies by.
Vrabel's probably saying, geez, it's been 6 years now.
It's like those. But those pictures that they just released today, they're pretty revealing.
I'm like, who had those?
I mean, you're at a bar with other people around. How are you not going to get noticed?
Something like that.
We've all been there.
We're scheduled to have Christopher Bell, NASCAR driver, ironically from Norman, Oklahoma, and drives for Joe Gibbs Racing. They're running a few minutes behind. They're going to be here with us shortly, and so we'll talk some racing and football with him coming up here in just a few minutes. Again, we're live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel here at Bar Lines, and all of our off-season coverage of the Titans presented by Tennessee Brew Works, the official craft beer of the football off-season, and all of our coverage here on 102.5 The Game. We'll have more coming here on Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Thursday. A little Luke Combs on this Thursday. It was cool when he did this live. I will say that.
I bet you were like, yeah, man.
I was. Isn't that what you do at a concert?
I hope so. Yeah. I usually get drunk and cry at concerts.
I did that too. Don't worry.
I do. The Beach Boys were one. You just get emotional, man. You know, Def Leppard one time made me cry because I'd gone to a Def Leppard show in the 80s with like 10 people, and like half of those people aren't here anymore. And I was like, man, I remember the last time. And so we get emotional. It's always a good time and happening. So that's what we got going on tonight, plus the draft and a very special guest walking up to the microphone now.
We do have a very special guest.
Get out of here.
I'm excited to meet this guy in person because I've been a fan of him for a few years now.
You talk about him all the time.
He's been on the show. Christopher Bell, driver of the number 20 for Joe Gibbs Racing, the DeWalt Toyota. How you doing, Christopher?
Hi, fellas.
Good to meet you in person.
Nice to meet you, too.
I'm Chase. This is Big Joe.
Big Joe.
Say hi, Big Joe.
Hey, how are you, buddy?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm looking you up now, Key. Christopher, I know all about you, though.
Yeah. See if I'm any good or bad.
You're good, man. Talladega this weekend, huh?
Draft.
Vega.
The draft tonight and the draft on Sunday.
That's
a different kind of draft.
That's right.
Are you like most drivers? Like you love it, but you hate it at the same time?
I love Dega for what it is. I hate racing at Dega.
Yeah.
I hate racing at Dega.
Really? Why?
Dude, you're just going to Vegas, man. You're going to Vegas and you're freaking rolling the dice. That's what it is.
Okay.
Sometimes you're going to wreck. Sometimes you're not going to wreck. And the guys who finish well are the ones that don't wreck. So, it's just, I like to call them the lottery races.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yep.
Do you consider yourself a pretty good plate racer, though?
No. Well, so here's the thing. I don't actually consider myself a good plate racer, but the good plate racers aren't guaranteed good finishes.
Correct.
So I just don't put a bunch of effort into the plate races because I'm like, man, I would rather focus my time and my effort on the races that actually reward running well. We've done a ton of studies over the super speedway stuff of like, you know, the Penske cars. They dominate the super speedway style of racing, but they don't get the finishes. And you can correlate like running well and leading laps, like the Penske guys dominate that category, but then whenever it comes to average finishing position, they're not at the top of it because there's just no correlation because of all the wrecks and carnage that happens at those style races.
I will say this. We've done this for, I know he's a Toyota teammate, but he's going to go lock Tyler Reddick in his hauler. Give you guys a chance.
That guy's been winning everything, hasn't he?
Dude, like, what are they doing? Like, tell Denny, like, to share some secrets. What's going on?
So the real secret is Tyler has, like, 50 more horsepower than the rest of us.
I guess. Yeah, something like that.
No, man, I don't know. They've got it going on. And, you know, luck is falling his way. And they are performing really well on top of that. And whenever you have great performance and great luck, you get great results. So last year was a super tough year for that group. They went winless, the 45 team did. And they're getting repaid now. So it's been frustrating to compete against, but fun to see as a race fan.
You're here in Nashville. We are a little over a month away from being the Cracker Barrel 400 at the Nashville Super Speedway.
Yes, so I hear you're the house mic guy.
I am. I'm the guy that's up in the booth, and then I do driver intros and truck and O'Reilly. I got used to that.
It happens to me all the time.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, excited to have you guys back in our city. Coming to Nashville?
So Nashville is such a huge market for us. It's such a fun weekend for everyone in the industry. You know, it gets to be a little bit of a grind that time of year. It's right in the middle of the season. It's like, oh, man, we're off on the road again. But Nashville is not one of those weekends. I think everyone in the industry looks forward to that weekend.
Is it tough where it falls down the schedule coming off the 600 and being like such a grueling race
It's funny. I was just talking to Matt with Nashville Super Speedway. I said, Matt, I asked him about the race length because it's 400 miles, which is right in line with most of our other races. But the way that Nashville races, the lap count that we have at Nashville to get 400 miles, it is a long race.
It's like a short track.
It is. Yeah. And it is 400 miles there. It takes longer for us to do 400 miles at Nashville than it does at any of the other intermediates. So, yes, we're coming off the Coke 600, which is our granddaddy of them all, the longest race of the year. And then we're going to another grueling race that's typically on a really hot and slick Nashville Super Speedway. So it's a tough physical event.
You drive for Joe Gibbs. Joe Gibbs, one of those rare people in this world where I wouldn't know where to start talking with him because he does so much.
What a legend, right?
Right?
What
a legend. What's the first time you met him, what was that like?
Just starstruck, you know, just in awe. I still to this day, anytime that you have a one-on-one conversation with him, it's a little intimidating. He's the guy. Coach is the man. And, you know, I'm just so grateful that I'm in this opportunity to get to drive for him. Clearly, our cars are super fast, so I'm in the best seat in the house right now.
Right. Oh, it's great. And big win. Your teammate last week, right, won in
huge. Ty, huge. Yeah. Ty Gibbs got his first Cup Series win. That was amazing.
Yeah. What do you – after that, do you talk – I mean, I know your teammates, but you want to win, but you got to be over the moon excited for your teammates.
Yeah, and that one was such a long time coming. Like, Ty has been competitive. He obviously did really well in the O'Reilly Series, won an O'Reilly Series championship a couple years ago, and then it looked like he was going to get his first win years ago, and it just never happened. He was always in the fight, and it finally fell his way at Bristol a couple weeks ago.
Do you scout tracks? Like, do you have a simulator for Talladega that you can sit in and do, or is that a bunch of am I making up a bunch of nonsense?
Well, we do have simulators, and simulators have become so important over the years as we have less and less practices. We're not allowed to go out and test, so all of our setup development, all of our tire work is done in the simulator, not in real life. So Talladega and Daytona, and now Atlanta, the three races that we run the Super Speedway package, we don't use the simulator because we're not really asking for car handling. So the setup of the car pretty much is what it is when you go to those three tracks, and you're not trying to develop your setup. But the other racetracks, we are constantly in the sim for hours and hours throughout the week of developing our setup and developing our tire work to make sure that we're as competitive as we can be when we get there.
Chase has a good question. I'm the dumb one on the show. So the first time you'll see – I know you've ran Talladega before, but the first time this year is when you do your practice. You don't get to, like, drive around it with a golf cart
we don't even have practice. It is straight for qualifying.
Wow.
Like, literally, you get in the car, you will leave pit road – and you'll see the green flag for your qualifying lap, and then you'll come around, and that'll complete your qualifying lap. So no practice. The moment you get in the car, you are on the clock.
Do you think – because, like, you didn't win your rookie year, right?
I did not win my rookie year.
Thanks, Chase.
Well, I'm going somewhere with this. Ty, it took, like, 3 years to get
– You are on the right track. I know where you're going with this. You're on the right track.
And, like, I'm a lifelong NASCAR fan. I don't understand the lack of practice. Because you got, I mean, like, you guys are the best drivers in the world, but especially with this car.
So what it has done is it has made it now harder than ever to come into the sport and compete. Because you have the veterans of the sport have such an advantage that it's almost impossible to get caught back up until you've been in it and you've gone to these racetracks for several times. And we only go twice a year max. So, like Shane Van Gisbergen, we talked about him for a lot. He came in and does really well on the road courses, but he has such a steep learning curve. And whenever we go to these tracks, he's only getting 20 minutes of practice. Yeah. You have one set of tires. So you're looking at max 30 or 40 laps of practice.
Wow.
So there's just no practice time like there used to be.
Well, I look at guys like you and Ty, and there are several others that you dominate the O'Reilly series. And then you come to the Cup series, and granted, it's a different car, and then they change the car again. And it's, I mean, it, like, what did that do to your confidence? Because it's just like, you know you're a good driver. It's just you don't get the practice time.
There's a lot of catch-up, man. There is a lot of catch-up. And honestly, for me, my rookie year in the Cup Series was 2020, which was in the old car, right?
Right.
So I was looking forward to the next-gen car coming out in 2022, and I really felt like that helped bring me closer to the veterans because it was kind of a reset. But, it is now harder than ever to jump into the Cup Series and be competitive because of the lack of practice, the car differential from the Cup Series to the O'Reilly Series. It's tough.
How much restraint is, again, I'm the dumb questions, he's a smart guy. How much restraint is it when you're coming off pit row? I know you can't speed, right?
Oh, gosh, yes.
I would think that, to me, that'd be the one time where I say the most cuss words. If somebody gets in front of you and you're just, oh, man.
Yeah, and you can't do anything about it.
Right.
Yeah. So, honestly, pit road is one of the hardest things that we have to do. And you're telling me, man, like, you got to – some of the cars have like pit road limiters, right? It's where you just hit a button and then you just mash the gas and you can't speed.
Oh, wow.
Well, we don't have that. Like it is solely up to our feet to not press the accelerator too hard and bump up and go faster than, the tolerable speed. My mom always gets mad at me. She's like, why do you speed? Why do you push it so close? Why do you push it so close? Well, we're graded on everything, right? So if pit road speed, like at Nashville Super Speedway, pit road speed will be 45 miles an hour.
No way.
And they give you a 5-mile-an-hour grace, okay? So you're like, okay, I'll go 45. I got 50 buffer, no problem. You're going to get blown by, buddy. If you're doing 45, you're going to get blown by. So it's like, you need to do 49. And then the guy that's doing 49 and a half, he's going to be passing you. So it's like, now I got to go 49 and a half.
Oh, that's great.
And next thing you know, you're flirting with it.
Right.
Have you ever had a time with NASCAR where they catch you for speeding and you're like, well, there were four cars around me that were doing the same thing, and it's kind of like the cop telling me, I caught you.
Absolutely. So, I mean, it happens all the time. So we don't have speedometers in the car, right?
Yeah,
we don't have speedometers, so we don't know how fast mile per hour we're going. We have our tach, which we can get from the rear gear. So our RPMs, that's essentially our speed. So we know that at Nashville, whatever, it's 3,900 RPM or 3,950 RPM. So you're going to go 3,950, and hopefully you don't go 3,951. But there are times where, you know, you're like, oh, I was looking at my RPM. I didn't miss it. But they have actual data that says, no, you sped. So it is true. If you get busted speeding, you did speed.
What happens if you get busted speeding?
You're going to the back, buddy.
Yep. Really?
Your ass going to the back.
Oh, yep. Man.
And then you got to do it all over again.
Yep.
He's Christopher Bell, driver of the number 20 for Joe Gibbs Racing. We'll have more with him coming up next, live here from the Omni Nashville Hotel on 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Thursday. An appropriate song is... they will be racing at Talladega Super Speedway this weekend, the Jack Lynx 500. Christopher Bell drives for Joe Gibbs Racing in the number 20 DeWalt Toyota. A famous look in NASCAR, DeWalt on a car. I mean,
it is.
Go back to Matt Kenseth and then now you. It's pretty
cool. How cool is that?
Who was your driver growing up?
Believe it or not, it was Tony Stewart. And being able to watch Tony Stewart in the Home Depot number 20 car, that was my guy. That was my guy, the iconic ride. Never in a million years did I think I would be driving the number 20 for Joe Gibbs.
Now, you're a little more calm, cool, and collected than he could be.
Yeah, so I always loved Tony Stewart because he told it how it was, right? You never had to second-guess Tony. You never knew how he was feeling. He was going to tell you how he was feeling. I don't quite have the I don't know what it is, the loud mouth that he is. Yeah. But, yeah, I love Tony.
Yeah.
We dealt with him that one time. I'd never dealt with Tony Stewart until.
This is actually a funny story.
Yeah, I want to hear this.
It was, he came, what was the, it was the National Fairgrounds.
It was, they put dirt on the fairgrounds and it
the
was.
The sprint car race.
The sprint car race.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
And they it was wouldn't like, let his merchandise truck in or something.
Sounds about right.
And yep. he, I was getting ready to do an interview on TV with him. And he was steaming mad. I said, let's not do it right now. Let's let's postpone a little
that
bit.
That sounds about right.
And
sounds
he was
about right.
irate. But I understood why he was mad.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it was, it
they
was
had,
pretty
I
intense.
Think they had told him one thing, and then he gets there and, you know, got told another thing. But, yep. yeah, that was a cool event. Were you in that?
I watched it on TV.
Okay.
Yeah, it
like,
was awesome to see.
Stenhouse was there and a few others. But that was cool. They put it on the – little quarter mile track.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier at breakfast, how that was they had the World of Outlaws sprint cars at the Nashville Fairgrounds on a dirt track. That's amazing.
Now, you're a dirt guy.
I am.
Right? Did you like it when they put dirt on Bristol?
Selfishly, yes. I will say Bristol Motor Speedway is my favorite track. So okay. the concrete Bristol Motor Speedway is my favorite track. So I love going there. We were talking off air about maybe going to each venue one time a year.
Yep. I'd support that.
Bristol would be the one exception because I love the racetrack, but I do think that it's important to go to every venue once a year. And with that being said, like, you know, the dirt Bristol, I loved it. I'm a dirt guy, so it gave me a really big advantage over the field. I like that aspect of it, but I love concrete Bristol too.
Do you think that they should try a true dirt track for cup racing, like an Eldora
so
or Knoxville
here,
or whatever?
Here's where I'm at with it. I think that – I love our sport because of the diversity that we race against, right? Like we have – there's not another form of motorsport out there that goes from 2.5 mile super speedways to half mile short tracks to road courses to intermediate mile and a half tracks. Like we have – to be a champion of the sport, you have to be very well versed as a race car driver. And I love the fact that we had a dirt track on the calendar. But the dirt race got very easily – discredited because the people didn't put effort into it. And it was a little bit like road courses used to be back in the day, where if you didn't have a good road course racer, it was an off week, right? Like, okay, we're going to go there. We're going to run 30th, whatever. We'll go home and move on to next week. And then the dirt race very much became that. The people that had dirt racers would take it serious and put effort in. And the people who didn't have dirt backgrounds would just be like, this is just an L. We're counting it as an L. We're moving on. So I think if they are going to do that, they need to have more than one on the calendar so that people are forced to take it serious and forced to get better at it, put effort into it, just like we did on the road courses.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
You're an Oklahoma guy, Norman, Oklahoma. I looked up your
Homer
high school.
Center.
You went to high school, same high school as Trey Young, by the way. Basketball. Are you a Boomer Sooner?
I am a Boomer Sooner. Right now, I'm a diehard Thunder fan.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
They're winning games.
Right now, I'm a Thunder fan. But
Baker Mayfield fan?
Love Baker. Love Baker. Yes.
Have you gotten to meet him?
I have not, actually.
Oh, wow.
I have not. Maybe one of these days.
Okay. Your crew over here needs to make that happen.
That's right.
Get it Oklahoma done. Guys.
Who's your favorite Sooner of all time?
Man. Maybe Adrian Peterson.
That's a good one.
Love Adrian Peterson was like my hero growing up. Like whenever I was a kid watching Sooner football, I was watching Peterson just monster truck people.
Yeah, I met him one time. He's gigantic.
Did he play here?
He played here.
Yeah,
briefly.
Say, yeah.
That's right.
He did.
Yeah, he's huge. I mean, he's like running back 5'11", 210. No, he's
a
massive
truck.
Man. Bosworth for me. I love Brian Bosworth. Of course, you weren't born yet.
Yeah,
but,
that was before my day.
But the legend, though. But how cool to grow up as a Sooner fan. I mean, because that is.
We have a lot of broken hearts. But, it's cool. It's cool to have a very competitive college football team. You know, they made the change to the SEC, a couple years ago now? Yeah. And it was a rough go of it for a while.
Right.
But made the playoffs this year, which was great. And hopefully keep moving up that ladder.
That's great. How was basketball in your hometown gone over so well?
I don't know, man. So do you remember whenever it was the New Orleans Hornets, I think. New Orleans Hornets got hit by Hurricane Katrina.
Right.
And then the Hornets went to Oklahoma City.
Yep, right.
So my dad, we never missed a game whenever we got our first NBA team, which was the Hornets back in, I don't know, the 2000s.
Chris Paul, right?
CP3, baby. Yeah. CP3 was my hero. Yeah. Loved it. So yeah. I think that was the start, right? Like, they brought in this temporary team, and Oklahoma City showed out. And then next thing you know, a couple years later, we get the Thunder. So
that's great. Really cool. And they won the NBA title. Was it last year?
Last year.
Yeah,
last
right.
year.
And do all that.
Yeah, they've been the number one seed in the West for, I don't know, what, three in a row or
they
something
have.
Like that?
They
have.
They do all that.
So good.
Will you go to Talladega tonight?
No, I actually have off tomorrow. So back home to Charlotte and then to Talladega on Saturday.
Okay.
Go make my one lap of qualifying.
There's your practice.
That's it? Yep. That's crazy.
Yep, that's right.
God, is there a lot of pressure doing that? I would think it'd be an amazing amount of pressure.
Yeah, not at the super speedway stuff. Like I said before, we don't use a simulator because we don't have car handling there. Like, the cars are underpowered at those style racetracks when you're qualifying. So all three of us, we could go the same speed, like in my car. We're all driving. If we all drove my car, we would go the same speed because you're just right foot down. You're just on the mat. You're just driving around. It's just like on a highway. And then you get in the race, and you have to race against 39 other buffoons, and that's why you wreck.
There are a few of those out there.
There are indeed.
Do you work out?
Oh, absolutely.
What do you do? Well, like, what's your – I mean, treadmill?
So it's very interesting. Cardio. I mean, a lot of cardio. I say that. A lot of cardio during the off season, but during the race season, we get whatever it is, 4 hours or 5 hours a week of cardio, you know, over the weekend. So not as much cardio during season, just a little bit of light weight lifting. You know, I don't want to be a 200-pound dude. I try and stay right around 150 pounds, just try and maintain my maintain my cardiovascular and make sure that I'm strong enough to do what I need to do. I trained to be a race car driver,
right,
not a weightlifter. I trained to be a race car driver.
I think last time I weighed 150 was sixth grade. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny here. Hey, let me ask you this. For those who don't know, how important is a spotter to you? Because I got a friend of mine, his brother's a spotter in the Indy League. And
okay.
That's like
who
the,
is it? Who is it?
His name's Michael Waddell.
Gotcha.
And his brother, you know, so he's a spotter. How important is a spotter to you, race? Is he the most important guy?
No, he's not the most important guy, but he is a piece of the puzzle for sure. What I like to say about spotters is a great spotter helps out a lot, but a bad spotter is manageable to get by, right? So there's a lot of spotters that are, you know, just whatever in this lump sum that everybody does okay with. And then if you have a great spotter, he does elevate your program because he adds a lot of knowledge to your crew chief who can't see the car, right? Your crew chief is down in the pits, has no idea what's going on the racetrack.
Right.
And then your spotter is able to communicate, hey man, it looks like he's struggling turn one, or it looks like he's really fighting the car here. There are a couple great spotters that really elevate the programs.
Do you know the tendencies of every other driver?
The most part, yes. You definitely know, like, if you line up on a restart behind Tyler Reddick. If you line up behind Tyler Reddick, you know that the outside's not going to be open. And then if you line up behind, I don't know, Brad Keselowski or Ryan Preece, they like to run low. So then you're like, you can't get inside of them, but I can go to the outside of them. You definitely learn tendencies, and you use that to your advantage during the race.
Fascinating. Fascinating.
Who's your spotter now?
Right now, I have Tab Boyd.
Okay. Yeah, he's been around a while.
Yeah, I've always been paired with veteran spotters. I had Stevie Reeves for the start of my NASCAR Cup career, who was super good. And then last year, we made the switch to Tab Boyd.
Yeah, okay.
I'd be like, watch out, Christopher. What am I watching out for?
slightly worse than the bad spotters.
So, quick story. I one time was like, man, I think I could be a spotter. I want to do it. And so, I stood up at the Super Speedway and, like, was watching practice and up there with the spotters. And
dude, did you see them all using binoculars up there?
Yeah, I'm
insane.
Like, after, like, 2 seconds, I'm like, nope. I'm
I'll
cause a 20-car wreck.
I couldn't imagine the amount of pressure that those guys have to go on. So talking about Daytona, Talladega, the super speedway-style races, right? So I consider that my off week because we just go out there, we ride around. Sometimes you crash, sometimes you don't. But it is an on week for the spotter because they are the ones who are really dictate. They can see the whole picture. Like, we can't see very much. Our mirrors don't show much. We can see what's going on in front of us.
Right.
But to be successful at the super speedway races, it's all about getting the pushes and getting the draft from behind you. So those guys on the spotter's tower in the roof, they're watching the field. They're watching, hey, pick up the run on the top. Go block the top lane. Block the bottom lane. Move to the middle. So they're really coaching the drivers of what to do throughout these super speedway races.
Oh, I love that, man.
So before we let you go, I think you're going to win at Nashville. I'm just going to go ahead and put that into the universe. You have. You have. Like, and I told him this last year. We had Blaney come in studio.
And he won.
And he won. And I kind of was like, I think he's got a chance. But he told us he was going to give us a shout-out in Victory Lane, and he didn't. So when you win, just remember the Chasing Big Joe show.
Chasing Big Joe
show. And I'll come say hi to you. I'll actually come down there. But
I love it.
Because you're going to get that guitar, and if you want to learn a few chords, I got you.
And we're not bitter.
I'm going to hand that thing to you and let you play.
Got it. Done.
And we're not bitter that Blaney didn't mention our name at all. We'll only bring it up every other week. But we trust you, Christopher Bell. We trust you.
It's good to meet you. Best of luck at Talladega this weekend and the rest of the season. We'll see you in about a month.
Yes, sir. Thank you, fellas.
Thank
Christopher
you.
Bell, driver of the number 20, Joe Gibbs Racing. We'll talk some hockey with Greg Wyshynski next, 102.5 The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.